God needs men. And I want to say to all of you, dear brothers especially, He needs sisters too. But He needs people who will bring people back to learn the fear of God. So let me share a few things concerning that. First of all, in Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So my paraphrase of that will be, the fear of the Lord is the ABC of the Christian life. So when a child goes to school, he doesn't learn physics and science and mathematics. He learns ABC. BAT is bat, CAT is cat. If he doesn't begin there, he'll never learn anything further. A child can't straight away jump into grade 3 or even grade 1. He's going to start in the kindergarten. So here it says, the fear of the Lord is the ABC of wisdom. So supposing we have not learned the fear of the Lord, and you straight away start reading something in the epistles and think about wonderful spiritual things mentioned in Romans and Ephesians and all. It's like a child, it's like putting a child into college straight away. What will he understand? He'll be confused in the class. He says, I can't understand what they're saying. The guy doesn't even know the alphabet. And he's sitting in a class hearing about science and physics and chemistry and all. He doesn't understand a thing because he didn't go to kindergarten and learn ABC. That is exactly the reason why so many Christians, after so many years of being a Christian, are so shallow in their knowledge of God. Let's not judge anybody else. I don't want to judge you. I don't know your private lives. You see, all of us, how much of my life and your life, how much of our lives do we know each other? Very, very little. I would say about 1%. Mainly because we don't know how each of us lives in our home. I don't know whether you yell at your wife. I don't know whether you watch pornography. I don't know whether you are faithful with money. I got no idea. But here, everybody looks so holy and so spiritual. We speak the right words and we're very polite and courteous and never offend anyone. And we can fool everybody and fool ourselves also that we're very spiritual. But it is in when we are alone, even your wife does not know everything about your life. For example, your wife does not know what thoughts you're thinking. She may have lived with you for 50 years. You could be polluted in your mind and she won't know anything about it. You could be unfaithful in your mind and she won't know anything about it. Even someone who's living so close to you does not know your inner life, and that is really what matters. So true spirituality begins with the fear of the Lord. That's the ABC. A person who fears God will be extremely careful about his thought life. Because he's not fearing his wife or fearing the elders in the church or fearing what other people say about him. He's fearing God, who sees everything. He'll be careful about his inner attitudes towards people. What is my attitude towards a boss who troubles me? What is your attitude towards your mother-in-law who hates you? Only God knows. Maybe your mother-in-law knows too, but God knows. We can have a reputation for holiness without being holy at all. And if you live on that reputation, I want to tell you, my brother, sister, you are living on extremely dangerous ground. You'll wake up one day in eternity to get a big surprise that God's opinion of you is not at all what you thought you were. So the solution to all of that is to learn the fear of God. And it's never too late to learn it. The fear of the Lord is the ABC of wisdom. You know, in the book of Revelation, we read about the sevenfold Holy Spirit. You've probably seen that. Sometimes there's the seven spirits of God. The sevenfold Holy Spirit in Revelation. So when I read something like that, I said, what are the 7 points of the Holy Spirit? Why is he called sevenfold Holy Spirit? And so I searched the scriptures. I find that Christians, I mean, many of you are in the Silicon Valley crowd particularly, you're very inquisitive about technical matters. Why does it work like, why doesn't this work? When it's a gadget or a program, computer program, very inquisitive. I want to find why this didn't work out. And that's what made you qualified to get a job in the computer field or some field like that. Why don't you have that same, or I'm not saying why don't you, I hope you have the same inquisitive nature when you read the scriptures. Why does the scripture say seven spirits of God? Why? We know there's only one Holy Spirit. Why is he called the sevenfold Holy Spirit? Or many questions like this that come up. What does it mean to be crucified with Christ? Exactly what does it mean? Those who have the same inquisitive nature that a computer science graduate is seeking for in the computer realm, they will really grow spiritually. They come to scriptures and they've got an inquisitive nature. They're not lazy who just, okay, it says that, okay, I don't know what it means, it doesn't matter. Now, you think a person who's studying computer science comes to some difficult phrase or statement there, and he says, oh, it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter. You think that guy will ever get his complete his degree? Never. We are so inquisitive in a good way about technical matters because we want to get a degree, we want to get a job, we love money, we need money to survive. But when it comes to the Bible, what money can I get by understanding what is the sevenfold Holy Spirit? Zero. It doesn't interest me. My sins are forgiven. I'm on my way to heaven. I want to tell you, my dear brothers and sisters, that is the reason for the shallowness of the Christian life of so many people. They don't respect the Word of God. God has given us one book, only one book, and we don't respect it. Well, no wonder our Christian life is shallow. So let me turn you to Isaiah chapter 11. And show you what the sevenfold Holy Spirit is. Here we read in Isaiah 11 verse 2. This is referring to Jesus Christ, by the way. So Isaiah has got a lot of prophecies concerning Christ. Isaiah 53, for example, the crucifixion of Christ is described there. And Isaiah 11, Isaiah 50, for example, we consider that one. Now it says in Isaiah 50 verse 4, the Lord says, I am woken up every morning to listen to the Father. Here's another place. This is referring to Christ again. A shoot, Isaiah 11:1, will spring from the stem of Jesse. Jesse is the father of David, and Jesus is called the son of David. So it's referring to Jesus. A branch from his roots will bear fruit. It's referring to Christ. And here are the seven aspects of the Holy Spirit. First of all, he's the Spirit of the Lord, or Jehovah, the Spirit of God. Secondly, he is the Holy Spirit that brings wisdom, which is different from knowledge. Wisdom is practical life. Knowledge is understanding in the mind. He's the Spirit of understanding. Yeah, that's different from wisdom. And the fourth, he's the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit that gives us advice. And fifth, he's the Spirit of strength, gives us strength to power. Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And number six is the Spirit of knowledge. It gives us knowledge of God. And number seven is a Spirit that gives us the fear of the Lord. Even the fear of the Lord. The Holy Spirit wants to give it to us. Now many people are seeking for the Spirit of strength. Oh God, give me the power of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. But it's the same Spirit that wants to give us the fear of God as well. Do you seek for that? See how we can be bent towards something that will give me glory. It's a wonderful thing if I have power. Look at them, but Christians will admire you. Here I go around preaching powerfully and manifesting the power of God, casting out demons and healing the sick and all that. Brother, sister, what we need is the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Okay, out of these seven, is referring to Christ. Christ will have all seven. But interestingly, out of the seven, the Holy Spirit emphasizes one. Which of these seven does he emphasize? The last one. Spirit of the fear of the Lord. See the next verse. Jesus Christ will delight in the fear of the Lord. There are six other characteristics, but he delights in the fear of the Lord. You see the emphasis here? Even Christ. And because, what is the mark of his delighting in the fear of the Lord? If I delight in the fear of the Lord, the same will be true of me. What is that? One of the marks is, he will never again judge or make form an opinion by what his eyes see. He sees something, he says, yeah, I won't form an opinion yet. I got to weigh it out. Now, we are very different. We, as soon as we see something, we form an opinion. We spread the news. I saw him doing it. Yeah, I actually saw with my own eyes that guy doing it. Not Jesus. He would not form an opinion by what his eyes see. So when you want to develop the fear of the Lord, start here. If you're serious, I don't know how many of you will be serious. Lord, from today onwards, I don't want to form a decision. I don't want to judge people by what I see. I may not know the whole truth.